Hey, over the last 3 weeks, we have been focused on mission, on thinking beyond. And we've heard from some of our global workers in South Asia. We heard from Lisa, and we've heard from Peter and Guinea via video. And Dr. Omar Joandi challenged us to redefine our definition of success. Redefine our definition anyway. Yeah, redefine success and think beyond what we believe it is. And last week, Pastor Justin challenged us powerfully about going and being willing to follow God's voice when he leads us. You know, the reason that we focus on mission and we're spending 3 weeks on it is because the Bible, the whole Bible, and by the way, we are Bible people. We believe that the things in the Bible are written to us from God and that we actually need to understand them and apply those to our lives. But the whole story of the Bible from the beginning to the end is mission. In Genesis chapter 12, that's a book in the Old Testament. There's a guy called Abraham, and God told Abraham this. He said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Leave your native country. Leave your family. Leave all that's familiar, the call to go. Abraham responded to God, and he went, and he didn't even know where he was going. So we talked about that a little bit last week. Now, if we fast forward to the New Testament, the book of Acts tells the story of the early church and how the gospel went beyond Jerusalem and it went global. There was a guy called Paul, the Apostle Paul, who kind of was the New Testament missionary. He was responsible for planting lots of churches and things. But we first meet Paul in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, the Jewish leaders were ticked off about Christianity because it was gaining momentum. It was putting their power and their position in jeopardy. And there was a guy called Stephen who was pretty vocal about the gospel. And they decided, we need to do away with this dude. So they were stoning him. That's the first introduction we get to the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul at the time, and it said he was standing by as a witness. He was watching out for everybody else's coats. While they were throwing rocks, he was taking care of their coats. Well, then, fast forward to Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul has permission to go to Damascus to persecute Christians, to kill Christians, to imprison Christians. And he's walking down this road going to Damascus, and he has this amazing experience and encounter with Jesus. And it changed his life forever. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to a preacher of the gospel. Paul went through a lot of things, and the Jewish leaders hated him because he was preaching Jesus, but the believers were afraid of him because he used to kill believers. So he was kind of in no man's land. And then he went and kind of hung out in his hometown for 3 years until a guy called Barnabas went and found him and said, okay, dude, it's time for us to get active. And they went to a place called Antioch, and it was from that place that mission launched. In Acts chapter 13, it says this. One day, as these men, that's the leaders in the church, were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. That's the launch of mission, even as we know it today. The Apostle Paul would go on to plant churches, and he wrote over half of the New Testament scriptures by the inspiration of the Spirit. But it wasn't all easy. He went through lots of persecution himself. The persecutor became the persecuted. He was beaten many times. He was shipwrecked, and he was just continually almost brought to the point of death because he was preaching the gospel. But for Paul, it was all about this one thing. Romans chapter 1, as he's introducing himself, it says, this letter's from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. That was Paul's life mission. You know, it's great to look through the pages of Scripture and see the stories of Abraham and to hear the stories of the Apostle Paul. Today, however, we have the privilege of hearing from somebody who's been living out mission in another place for the last 10 years. someone that was sent out from here to go do that. Welcome Jackie Croxon to the stage. Welcome, welcome. How you doing, Jackie?
Good.
We got the stools. Welcome, and it's 10 years you've been on mission here.
10 years today since I landed in Thailand. Yeah.
So, wow. So it's just coincidental, right? Right.
This cake! Oh. Wow.
There we go.
That's super fun.
There we go.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really sweet.
Well, that's your friend, Kim. She actually made that for you. Bye, Kim.
Thank you.
A cameo
that's
from
amazing.
Kim. Yep, she brought the cake and got you some balloons and everything. So we are excited that you've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah, we'll just have to get a photo for my team later, you know, with the...
yeah.
I love that over there.
So it's a monumental thing to celebrate 10 years. And it's just coincidental that it's the 24th and it's 10 years today, right?
Yeah.
That you're here.
It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, we worked hard on that, didn't we? So while we celebrate, we're going to celebrate 10 years all day today, but I want to go back.
Yeah.
Because you were... born here, and you grew up here. Tell us a little bit about your faith journey, because I imagine it's probably kind of like Paul on the road to Damascus, right?
Yeah, not as dramatic. but yeah, I grew up here, and I did the whole succession of like playgroup, Sunday school, youth group, and I also went to Heathdale just next door, so I was kind of grew up quite embedded in faith communities. And so for me, though, then in my teenage years, I had some really strong investment from some amazing leaders, probably in my mid-teens, who really challenged me. And yeah, I just felt the challenge to really step into a faith that was my own, not the one that was an extension of my family or the broader Christian community that I was in. So I was baptized when I was 16, and discipleship journey has continued since then.
Yeah, so you came to faith or owned your own faith as a teenager and things, but you know your dad. I think he's around here, right? Are you there, Stu? Yep. Hey, Stu, how you doing, man? Hey, Stu, he's your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, I think he is.
Did you know that?
Yeah,
right. And he reminds us regularly that you are the first person who was born here, grew up here, and then went out from here to serve as a missionary.
Yeah.
So, that's...
Thank you.
So, does that mean that you were born to Thai?
Yeah, uh-huh. Did you get it? In hindsight, yes, it does mean I was born, but I didn't actually know that until I was in my early 30s. Right. So, growing up here at WBC, mission was always really prominent. SIM was always really prominent. But for me, it wasn't anything that I considered was for me. And in fact, I probably thought it wasn't for me.
Wasn't for you.
It wasn't
for
me, yeah.
So if it wasn't on your radar, how did it actually get on your radar?
Yeah, looking back, it was a slow and steady progress, a slow and steady path that God had me on. And like I said, it wasn't until my early 30s that I realized what was going on. In my professional capacity in my early 20s, I was kind of encouraged by a manager at the time that I could be exploring international development, international work at some point. And that really excited me. But I think for me, that was like, oh yeah, I'll get a job, you know, like a real job that pays and things with an NGO or something like that. And then alongside that, I started with Werribee Baptist going on a number of short-term missions. And I think now as I look back, I can see that each one of those trips I went on was just kind of moving me a little bit closer to this calling. Every time I went, it got a little less scary and a little less daunting. So I did Ethiopia once and Cambodia 4 or 5 times. I kind of lost count there. And as I look back, I can see, that God was using every one of those trips to kind of lead me closer to this call.
Yeah. Well, we were talking through the week and you were telling me about that first trip to Cambodia.
Yeah.
And there was a song there. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Tell them about that.
It's a Brooke Fraser song called Albertine. And she wrote it for her sponsor. She just visited one of her sponsor children. And one of the lines of the song is, "Now that I have seen, I am responsible. Faith without deeds is dead." And I think for me, having that song on my playlist while I was driving through parts of Cambodia, you're seeing real practical material needs, but you're also seeing a need for Jesus there. And it was quite profound for me. And as I look back now, I can see that it was probably quite a catalyst in kind of starting to reshape my thinking around, mission. Certainly being in that context and listening to those words was really challenging.
Yeah, well, those are powerful words. Yeah. Now that I've seen, I am responsible. Faith without works is dead. That's right from Scripture, James chapter 2, about faith without works is dead. If we see something, we don't do anything. But it also reminds me of Jesus' words in John chapter 4, verse 35, where he says, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." You know, as I hear your story and I think of Jesus' words there, it's about looking. It's about seeing. And once you know, now you're responsible. That's a beautiful story. Yeah. So would you recommend to other people that they go on short-term mission trips?
Not if you don't want to end up as a missionary. but I think based on my experience of short-term missions, absolutely. I think they're done well. I think they're an amazing opportunity to explore a call.
Great, great. So and just so you know that we've talked a little in the background. It's not planned yet, but short-term mission trip next year to Thailand. So get ready for that. So that's a bit of the preparation, how God's been working in your heart and everything. How did that move then to a calling?
Yeah, I think it was, as I said, a slow and steady path that I was on until I was in my early 30s. And I think it was early 2012, mid-2012, God really started to work in my heart. And there just seemed to be this groundswell of things happening. You know, a lot of the messages and sermons I was hearing, the application was, you know, be brave, be bold, step out, steward your gifts for the kingdom. And I had some people speak prophetically and pray for me as well into those things. It was also Missions Month, which seemed to tie everything together quite nicely. And at the time, my close friend and housemate and baker extraordinaire, Kim, was part of processing all this with me out loud. And I think it got to the point where, because she knew me quite well, she knew I'd need not just a nudge, but a push. And so she actually suggested that I talk to some SIM representatives that we had in our church at the time, which was you and Deanna. So that's when it started.
Wow. Well, what a story. And, you know, I don't want to get lost here that her best friend and housemate and one of her pastors at the time, Kim, actually released her. You know, that was massive, massive. So anyway, so we began the journey with you towards figuring out what to do with this whole calling. Tell us how that played out for you.
Yeah, so we had an initial conversation about just to get a sense of what my giftings and skills were and what I would be looking to do on the field. And at that time, my concept of a missionary was quite narrow. It was, you know, doctor, pastor, teacher, nurse. And so I really didn't know what I was looking for in terms of the call. And I didn't have any strong preference for where I would go either and the kind of work. I was pretty open. But as I have, and you had been to Thailand to visit the Hope for Life Thailand ministry there. After hearing and discussing with me, you thought it would be a good fit. And you made the connection. And from there, it literally snowballed. It happened so fast from there.
That was amazing. And when I met the guy that founded Hope for Life Thailand, it was called Radical Grace back then. The guy was very organic in chaos and just always bouncing all over the place. And Jackie's structure and strategy and all those things. And it's like, he needs her. So, and that resulted in this thing called a call. And, you know, when you started raising support, you actually set a record for raising support. I think it was only like 2 or 3 months it took you to raise support.
Yeah, it was amazing. As I said, we began communicating with Hope for Life then and kind of yeah, it just felt really like a good connection and like somewhere I could fit in and serve well and compliment Kenneth and his chaos. And then, yeah, in 2013, I went on a vision trip with Kim, and we were kind of exploring. While I was there, everyone's kind of saying, so when you come, I'm still like, if I come, you know. Right. But really, I think in the back of my mind, I knew that it was a when. And so I came back to Australia, and yeah, my funding came through in a really short amount of time, which for me was real confirmation that it was where I was supposed to be. In 11 months, I think it was from doing that vision trip to actually landing in Chiang Mai on the 24th of March, 2014.
Yeah. There we go. You know, that's a lot of things happened there, circumstances, different people speaking into your life as you're growing up, and then specifically about Thailand, and it's becoming clear. But was there any scripture that was a part of your journey with all that?
Yeah, at that time, the story of Esther was really significant for me. It had always been one that I really, really liked, but during this season, it seemed to take on a whole new meaning for me. Particularly chapter 4, verse 14, you know, it says, "For who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this?" I wasn't going to royalty, like it wasn't that. But I think, you know, without the time to get into the background of that, it was that idea that somebody who was ordinary, which Esther was, before she got called into the position of queen, could be positioned by God to do something that was going to make a difference. And I think a big barrier for me in mission was that I didn't consider myself an evangelist or a theologian. Sure, I love Jesus and I wanted other people to know about Jesus, but I thought mission was more for the deep thinking, really articulate, spiritual people. And so for me, yeah, the story of Esther, I could see the parallels there, you know, between she was leading a fairly normal life as she then was called into this position. And likewise, I was leading a normal life. I was living a very good life, comfortable life, working, ministering here. And then also, you know, Esther had this season of preparation that God had her go through into get her ready for royalty, the position. And I could see as I look back that God had been preparing me over not a year that Esther spent. I think I spent like 20 years getting ready for this. And then, yeah, and I was, like Esther, prepared to submit to the call and the process and just see what God was asking me to step into in order to be a part of making a difference somewhere.
Yeah, you're own for just such a time as this.
Own for such a time as this, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And then as we were communicating this week and even yesterday, you sent me a message about your Bible reading for yesterday. Yeah. What was this passage again? I just find that ironic and remarkable that it came up then. So we've have your backstory, and we know how you got there and the calling, and we're putting all that together, and we're celebrating the fact you've been there 10 years now.
Yeah.
10 years is a long time for your life. It's not that long for some of us that are a little bit older, but 10 years is significant. And would you say you're a different person now than you were when you left?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So why don't you take the next few minutes and tell us how God has worked both in you and through you over the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to know, you know, mission isn't just about God working through you. It's a large part of it. But my learnings from the first few years was that I almost felt like God worked more in me in those few years just to bring me to a place of, you know, really being effective for ministry. You know, I go over there and I step into a place where everything is new. It's, you know, and I feel vulnerable. You know, there's like new language, new culture, unfamiliar place, new community that I have to build. And I really didn't know what was ahead either in terms of what I was doing there, what I was being called to do there. So it was quite humbling. And, you know, as I drank from this fire hose of new things, new language, new culture, new community, new people, I was understanding more about the ministries there, the ministry that I was getting involved in, which was a HIV response ministry. And I was just learning a lot of information and even being challenged in my own assumptions and biases that I didn't know that I held.
So Do you have a time or a story, a moment where some of those assumptions and biases were challenged significantly?
Yeah, and one of the stories that particularly was really relevant for me, I think it was in my first year, we were doing some ministry at a girls' juvenile prison, and we were headed out there to do our session, and we had a young volunteer with us there that day. And as we were walking to the entrance of it, he was walking alongside our project director, who is Ty, and I was just kind of following behind, and I heard this young guy say to our project director, Pidang, he's like, "What are the girls in here for?" And Pidang's response was really profound, and again, I wasn't in this conversation. He doesn't know, I don't think, the impact that his words have had on me, but he said three words in response to that question. He said, "It doesn't matter." And for me, you know, it was quite profound. You know, it doesn't matter why these girls are incarcerated, what they did, what was done to them. In the context of our ministry, it doesn't matter how the people living with HIV we're working with were infected. And it doesn't matter because our kind of response and attitude towards them shouldn't be influenced by our like perceptions of their circumstances. And so for me, that was really profound at that time, just that reminder that God doesn't see them any other way than his children, and that's how we should see them as well.
Well, when you shared that with me this week, it really hit me because it's easy for us to get into a mentality when we see people who are hurting, who are maybe incarcerated or whatever, they're doing life tough, but then we know that they created it, you know, they've kind of done it to themselves. It's really easy for us to say, well, so what? You know, why would I bother helping you when you actually put yourself here? But those three words, it doesn't matter, just were powerful, powerful for me to hear that from you. So thanks for sharing that. But you've got some scriptures around this as well that kind of sunk into your heart about that.
Yeah, and it was from, it is from 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 15. And it says, that keeps us vigilant. So reading from the Message version, you can be sure. It's no light thing to know that we'll all one day stand in that place of judgment. That's why we work urgently with everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. God alone knows how well we do this, but I hope you realize how much and how deeply we care. We're not saying this to make ourselves look good to you. We just thought it would make you feel good, proud even, that we're on your side and not just nice to your face as so many people are. If I acted crazy, I did it for God. If I acted overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and the last word in everything we do. And I think the word everyone is repeated so many times there, you know, giving a reminder to us, a really strong reminder that Christ died for everyone. Everyone is in the same boat. So no matter, you know, going back to my story, no matter a person's story, a person's situation, their diagnosis, God's promise is for everyone and his sacrifice is for everyone. And to those of us who are believers, the really strong, I missed a bit at the end, but you can read that for yourself, sorry. But, you know, this reminder for us as Christians that we should be moved to extremes to actively engage in living out God's love. And, you know, some might think that I literally moved to extremes in Thailand, and in a way I did. And yes, that is a call on people like me, but it's also a call on every one of us to move to the places and the spaces where we can be a part of sharing God and making him known.
So that kind of sums up your last 10 years. Mm. And this passage of scripture has had a great impact on you. The stories that you've lived out have had a great impact on you. When you went, you had never really worked with HIV before, or people that were suffering or living with, sorry for
suffering.
That, we don't say suffering, living with that. And you had to get your head around that, and you got more than your head around it.
Yeah.
It got your heart.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it was such a big part of shaping how I've done ministry for the last 10 years. Yeah. And
it's all been easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly not. There's lots of highs and there's lots of lows that we could talk for. You want us to go for another hour and a half?
Yeah.
Probably not. But Jackie's happy to come to your life groups and those things and share. So tell your life group leader to have Jackie in and things, and she'll share some more of those stories. But while we kind of try to wrap this up and tie a bow on it, if you will, for people sitting here wondering, so what? What's that got to do with me? That's Jackie's story. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say be open. I know my view, my mission call came suddenly for me. And I think, you know, mission doesn't have to be a call that you feel from when you're young and know all your life. It came on me, as I said, quickly and later. You know, I was in my early 30s and I was gone within 2 years of actually really beginning to start to think through it. So keep your heart and your posture open, and you might just be surprised by what God will do. Along those lines, just an encouragement, and I think Kathleen picked up on this before, that God's kingdom needs a whole range of people to do his mission. As I said before, my view of mission was quite narrow when I first went out, but having been out there for 10 years, I have seen the diversity of skills that God needs. Sure, preachers, teachers, doctors, nurses, engineers, but also business, accounting, finance, HR, media and communications, counselling, livelihood development work. God can use it all. So, don't be limited by what you think. Go and talk to Kathleen or myself and find out how God could use you. And I think I'd also say that as daunting as the thought of mission might be, it really is so rewarding. The fulfillment that comes from knowing you're where God wants you to be, and getting to live that calling, as adventurous as sometimes it is such a blessing. And just to highlight, I think, too, that behind the blessing that I have to go out there and represent you is just this fulfillment. This comes from knowing that I have a great team and a great church, you know, supporting me as senders so that I can be the one to be the goer as it is. And I don't do it alone. I just really wanted to take this opportunity while I'm here actually to thank Werribee Baptist and those of you who support me within that, just for just the amazing faithful support over the last 10 years. It is really such a privilege for me to represent you out there. And I have a gift for the church that I will give you. There you go.
Thank you.
That's okay.
So Jackie did say I have to open this.
You
Just rip it down the front.
Yeah. I didn't paint it myself.
On behalf of the church, thanks for this. You shouldn't have given us something for your 10th anniversary.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we do it in Thailand.
But
it is now.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the privilege of sending you out. And I had the unique privilege of being able to mobilize Jackie from the SIM side, and then while she was there, actually became her pastor, which I'm going to get emotional. Anyway, thank you for that. You know, friends, today we started talking about Abraham. Then we talked about Paul a little bit. And, you know, as we read their stories in Scripture, it's exactly what we just did with Jackie. You know, when Paul talks about his life and his journeys and all that, we hear him quoting Scriptures about things. It's what we just saw today lived out before us is Jackie on mission and how the Scriptures have influenced her life and impacted her life. And I tell you, the passage there from 2 Corinthians is just amazing. That's going to sit with me a long time. I hope it sits with you a long time. But you're sitting there, and Jackie just answered the so what question. But I want to double down on that if I can. I want to challenge you and encourage you to consider. This is the end of the mission focus time. That doesn't mean we're not going to talk about mission the rest of the year, but this is the laser-pointed focus. Has God been stirring you to maybe go? Maybe you're like Jackie and it wasn't on your radar and you thought it was very much not a you thing. But maybe over the last 3 weeks, and maybe today, something that's been said make you think, I wonder, there's something going on in here that I can't quite explain, I'm not really sure about. Would you say yes to going though? Would you say yes if God wants me to? And, you know, if all 500 of you went, then who would be sending? So we can't all go, right? Because some of us need to be senders. And you need to engage in that in a real way, praying for Jackie, praying for the others that we've talked about this month. But I also learned this week, and this is the first time in 10 years that this has happened for Jackie, but she actually has a small deficit in her monthly support. She needs to raise, before she goes back to Thailand in June, right? She needs to raise an additional $500 a month. To top up her support to get to where she needs to be. So I would encourage you and challenge you. Maybe you're not called to go. If you're called to go, you need to answer that. But maybe you're called to send in a more tangible way as far as finances. And I would encourage you to talk to Jackie afterwards or talk to Pastor Deanna. She can point you to the right places so that you can become a part of Jackie's support team. But whatever God's stirring in you, respond to that today. Jackie, I want to pray for you.
Thanks.
And pray for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given WBC over the last 55 years, really, to be sending missionaries out. Thank you for growing this one up from inside. And, Lord, thank you for the privilege of sending her. Thank you for what you have done in her, Lord, to just refine her and to change the way she thinks. And Lord, thank you for her responding and saying yes. Lord, surprising to her when she's in her 30s, Lord, to make that kind of decision. But thank you that she said yes to you. Mm-hmm. And Lord, for all of those hearing this today, hearing Jackie's story, Lord, I know, I am confident that there are other people that you're putting your finger on their heart. And Lord, I just want to pray for them that you would give them the courage to take that next step, to have a conversation with the mission agency, to have a conversation with myself or one of the other pastors here about what that might look like. And Lord, we do pray into Jackie's support need and ask you to fulfill that. Lord, we have every confidence. You're the great provider, and we know you will. And Lord, bless us to be able to fill that need. And Lord, for all these things, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.